Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Text 2. Na Nunam Mukta Sanganam Tadrishanam Dvijarishabha Griheshu Abhiniveshaha Ayam Punsam Bhavitum Arhati. Nanunam Mukta Sanganam Tadrishanam Dvijarishabha Tadrishanam Dvijarishabha Griheshvabhivineshoyam Punsam Bhavitumarhati Nanunam Mukta Sanganam Tadrishanam Dvijarshabha Griheshvabhivineshoyam Punsam Bhavitum Arhati Nanunam Mukta Sanganam Tadrishanam Dvijarshabha Griheshvabhivineshoyam Punsam Bhavitum Arhati Touches anyone? Certainly, Mukta Sanganam, who are free from attachment. Tadrishanam, such. Dvija Rishabha, O greatest of the Brahmanas. Griheshu, to family life. Abhiniveshaha, excessive attachment. Ayam, this. Punsam, of persons. Bhavitum, to be. Arhati, is possible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O greatest of the Brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. Purport. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that by executing devotional service to the Lord, one can understand the transcendental position of the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by any means except bhakti. The Lord confirms this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text 21. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahyah. Only by executing devotional service can one appreciate me. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Text 55, Lord Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Simply by discharging devotional service, one can understand me. Thus, for a bhakta to become attached to family affairs is impossible, since a bhakta and his associates are liberated. Everyone is searching after ananda or bliss, but in the material world there can never be any bliss. It is only possible in devotional service. Attachment for family affairs and devotional service are incompatible. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was somewhat surprised to hear that Maharaj Priyavrat was simultaneously attached to devotional service and to family life. Kindly repeat the translation. Devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O greatest of the Brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chaksharonmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. The fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is beginning with the inquiry of King Parikshit about King Priyavrat, who, being a prince, became a brahmachari after associating with Narad Muni and lived a very renounced life in devotion to Lord Krishna, and subsequently he came back to household life and lived on. And this is a matter of perplexity for King Parikshit. How is it that someone who, having led a life of such renunciation, can again become attached to family life? Because, as King Parikshit says, Maharaj Priyavrat was not only self-realized, but he was also a pure devotee of the Lord. So how is it possible for a pure devotee to be attached to family affairs? So this is Parikshit Maharaj's dilemma. Now, being in family life or being in renounced life is a situation of our ashrams. According to the Varnashrama Dharma, we have four varnas and four ashramas. And these varnas and ashramas are within the purview of the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion and ignorance. But devotional service is transcendental. Therefore, bhakti is beyond the varnashrama system. In fact, the very purpose of the varnashrama system is to obtain pure love for the Supreme Lord. Atah pumbhir dvijashreshtha varnashrama vibhagashah svanushthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that the perfection of execution of duties according to the varna and ashrama rules and regulations is that one pleases Lord Krishna or Lord Hari. So ultimately all the rules and regulations of the scriptures are meant to bring us to the point of developing a state of consciousness where we always want to please the Lord. Now this is an important point, because it is not a matter of incidentally pleasing the Lord, but a matter of wanting to please the Lord. This is how bhakti or uttama bhakti has been defined by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam uttama bhaktiruttama. So Rupa Goswami says that first class or top class devotional service is that which is rendered without any fruitive motive, with no material desires. And this bhakti must not be covered by any fruitive intention or by any attempts at philosophical speculation to come to the point of understanding the impersonal Brahman. Furthermore, such devotional service must be rendered exclusively to Krishna or his expansions and must be favorably rendered, anukulyena. So the acharyas have explained the purport of the word anukulyena. If we simply think that devotional service means to please Krishna, then the acharyas explain, by that criterion, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and all these asuras will also be great devotees. Because having fought with the Lord, they gave the Lord pleasure because the Lord was able to relish the secondary rasa called the rasa of chivalry, the veer rasa. The Lord also takes pleasure in fighting. And when he desires to fight, he arranges for some special personality to actually come and fight with him. So we know that Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and then Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and later Shishupal and Dantavakra were all Jay and Vijay formerly, who were gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So if Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha fought with the Lord and gave him pleasure because the Lord enjoyed the fighting, he enjoyed Veeras, does it make Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha devotees? So the idea is not simply that the Lord was pleased. That doesn't qualify for bhakti in and of itself. But what is most important, according to Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is that for a person to be called a devotee, he or she must have a very strong, pure desire to please Krishna. In other words, there is a difference between pleasing Krishna and having the desire to please Krishna. If somebody incidentally pleases Krishna, he may not necessarily be a devotee even. He may even be an asura. But if one has a strong desire to please the Lord and is acting according to the instructions of the previous acharyas, then that is considered devotional service. This effort or desire to please the Lord must not be whimsical. For example, if someone says, I have a desire to please the Lord by offering him some prohibited substance. No. Even though the desire to please the Lord is there, but it is not being done according to the teachings of the previous acharyas. So therefore, it is not considered bhakti. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadinavritam anukuliena krishnanushilanam. So in the word anushilanam, the word shilanam indicates cultivation, but the word anu indicates that one must do so following in the footsteps of the great acharyas. One cannot whimsically try to act in order to please Krishna. So if one is under the shelter of the instructions and of the path that has been prescribed by the previous acharyas and the scriptures, and if one is genuinely possessed of a desire to please Krishna, and if one makes that as one's life's goal, then one is a pure devotee. The path of pure devotional service involves understanding very clearly that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and accepting him with our heart and soul as the only objective of our life, and understanding that we have to please him, even at the cost of our own pleasure and happiness. This is the path of the pure devotional service. Even though one may not be on the platform of prema bhakti, but if one is possessed of this desire exclusively to please Krishna, and one understands Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any confusion, Even though one may be a new devotee, one is still considered to be on the path of pure devotional service. Therefore, sometimes Prabhupada used to refer to his disciples as, these are pure devotees, even though they were very neophyte, they had just joined. They had only taken to Krishna consciousness maybe a few years ago, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years ago. And he called them pure devotees. What did he mean by this? Did he mean that they had reached the platform of prema bhakti, even above bhava bhakti? No, he did not mean that. He meant that they were firmly fixed on the path of pure devotional service. Because they had surrendered completely to Krishna, and their only goal in life was to please Krishna and to serve Him. Because of that, Prabhupada said, they are pure devotees. In other words, this desire to please Krishna and accepting Krishna as the all-in-all Supreme Lord is the characteristic that defines a devotee, and naturally it is not dependent on the varna or the ashrama. So anyone in any station in life, if he or she fulfills these criteria, is a pure devotee. It doesn't matter. So here the question of how Priyavrat Maharaj, who was formerly a renounced brahmachari and a pure devotee, could become a family man and remain attached is the question. So if Priyavrat Maharaj was already a pure devotee, there is no conflict in him subsequently becoming a householder. Whether one is a householder or a renunciant is an external situation from the devotional point of view. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, Grihe Thako, Vane Thako, Sadahari, Bole Dako. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whether one is living in the forest as a renunciant or whether one is in household life, one should simply call out the names of Lord Hari all the time. This is the principal point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself was a householder and he had no less than 13 children. And he said, Jedine grihete bhajana dekhi, jedine grihete goloka bhai. Whenever I return home and when I see that my family members are chanting the holy names and rendering pure devotional service to Krishna, then I see my home as Goloka Vrindavan. So our bhakti philosophy is that the ashram is not important. It is not the determining factor for somebody to be a pure devotee or not a pure devotee. In our sampradaya we have numerous examples, and even in other Vaishnava sampradayas there are numerous examples of devotees who were very pure hearted but who were householders. And it may also be possible that there may be people who are externally in renounced life but who are not pure devotees, whose hearts may be plagued with material desires and so on. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us a clear understanding of what a devotee is, a real devotee. A devotee is a liberated person. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samaha sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So here Lord Krishna is mentioning how when one comes to the point of the Brahma bhuta platform, understanding one's own spiritual nature, it is then that real devotional service begins. Real devotional service means it is completely devoid of any contamination of the three modes of nature. In the Brahma-Bhuta platform, one, having come to the understanding of one's own spiritual identity, and having understood that one is distinct from material nature, now one is actually eligible to do pure devotional service without any contamination. Kapila Dev, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, describes four types of bhakti. The first type of bhakti is bhakti in the mode of ignorance. It is not that bhakti is actually in the mode of ignorance. Kapila Deva's classification depends on the practitioner of bhakti. Depending on which mode of nature a particular devotee is influenced by, that devotional service that he renders is also classified accordingly. So if there is a person who is rendering devotional service to Krishna, he has accepted him as a Supreme Lord, wants to please him as well, but he also is very proud, very envious, he may want to cause harm to others as well. So such a person's devotional service is called devotional service in the mode of ignorance. There may be another person who again is rendering devotional service to Krishna, having understood him as a Supreme Lord, but has these desires for name and fame, for some sense enjoyment and so on. Then the devotional service that he renders is called devotional service in the mode of passion. There may be another person who accepts Krishna as a Supreme Lord and serves him, but with the idea of getting free from material contamination. He offers him the fruits of his actions. He wants to get liberated from material existence. So such a person's devotional service is devotional service in the mode of goodness. And then there is one who serves Krishna spontaneously out of natural love without any expectation, materially speaking. Mad guna shruti matrena mai sarva guhashaye mano gati ravichinna yatha gangam bhasam budhau. Kapila Dev defines this nirguna bhakti, that bhakti which is beyond the three modes of nature. And he says, when somebody simply by hearing my qualities, mad guna, because Kapila is the Lord himself, so he says mad guna, my qualities, shruti matrena, simply by just hearing the qualities of my qualities, me who am situated in everybody's heart, mai sarva guhashaye mano gatir avichinna, when that person's mind runs spontaneously to me without any deviation, just like the Ganga flows from the mountains straight to the sea, and even if there are any obstructions, the water of the Ganga will find some way. It will go around and somehow it will reach the ocean. These hills and other barriers will not succeed in keeping the Ganga away from the sea. The Ganga will flow towards the sea despite all obstacles. So similarly, a pure devotee, one who is performing nirguna bhakti, is one whose mind is spontaneously, naturally attracted to talks about Krishna. And the moment there is any mention of Krishna or hearing of the qualities, his or her mind flows automatically towards the Lord despite all obstacles. So this nirguna bhakti is a situation that anyone can attain to, regardless of one's ashram. So this is the meaning of liberated. So when we say liberated, we mean liberated from the three modes of material nature, liberated from the bodily conception of life. And further, the Bhagavatam defines the liberated situation as being fixed in one's constitutional position. Muktir hitvanyatharupam svarupena vyavasthitihi. And because jivera svarupa hoi krishnera nityadas, because the constitutional position of the soul is to be always a servant of Krishna, so if somebody is performing devotional service like this, then he is liberated. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalashvapyavasthasu jivan muktah sa uchyate. So a person who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, karmana by his actions, manasa by his mind, gira by also his words, is called a jivan mukta, is a liberated person even though he is still within his body. So even here and now, having this material body, living in the material world, one can be a liberated person if one is constantly engaging one's body, mind and words in the service of Krishna. A brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, all can do this. And therefore devotional service does not really depend on one's external situation. And these are some of the points that Srila Prabhupada is making here. He says that for a pure devotee to become attached to family affairs is impossible, since a bhakta and his associates are liberated. Which means that a pure devotee, even if he or she stays in family life, does so only for the sake of Krishna's service. They are not attached to the family affairs. This is the situation of the pure devotees who are in the grihastha ashram. Practically speaking, of course, it is somewhat natural that there will be some degree of attachment, and therefore the path of renunciation is a more simpler path to cultivate devotion, because there are fewer distractions, fewer entanglements, and as a general rule it is always easier to perform pure devotional service in an externally renounced condition. But ultimately the principle of bhakti goes beyond these varnas and these ashramas. So there is no contradiction in Maharaj Priyavrat first having been a brahmachari and now he is a grihastha. But even though he was a grihastha, he was not attached to the family affairs, because he was a pure devotee. And further on we are going to hear the wonderful qualities of Maharaj Priyavrat, and we will read of the circumstances that led him to move from his life of renunciation to the life not only as a householder but also as a king. And he remained as a king for a long time. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, who were also great devotees when they were brahmacharis, later became householders and kings, and they perfected their lives. So Maharaj Priyavrat, a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, is another such example. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So are there any questions or comments? Yes. Is there any mic here? No? Yes, please ask the question. Hare Krishna. The question is that bhakti is not dependent on external circumstances. Suppose there is somebody who has taken to sannyas ashram but later realizes he has made a mistake. What are the options left to him?
Hare Krishna.
It depends on which angle you want me to address the issue. One time when Prabhupada was asked this, he said a person who does that is called a vantasi, according to the Bhagavatam, somebody who drinks his own vomit. And according to the laws of Manu, the only rectification is to give up one's life. But after Prabhupada said that, then he paused and he said, better to just continue devotional service. Because in the path of bhakti, the conception of sannyas is slightly different from the traditional concept of sannyas on the path of karma. Karma sannyas is one thing. And in Kali Yuga, when it is said that sannyas is prohibited, one of the five things that is prohibited, ashvamedha gavalambham, etc., sannyasam palapaitrikam, so sannyas is also prohibited. It refers to karma sannyas. So karma sannyas is not allowed in Kali Yuga. But taking sannyas for the sake of preaching, for the sake of strengthening one's service to the Lord, for the sake of increasing one's internal renunciation and dedication to the Lord, is approved by the Acharyas. Therefore, we see that even great Acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and in our own Sampradaya, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then subsequently we have Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada and so on, they have accepted this sannyas for the sake of practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness better. So, it is not that sannyas is taken whimsically. It has to be very carefully done, with great deliberation, with great preparation. And in our institution, it is not something that is given whimsically either. So there are checks and balances, there are procedures to be followed, approvals to be had, recommendations to be done, preparatory periods. So many things are done like that to ensure that somebody who does it will not falter. But because we are living in the material world, it may happen that somebody may falter. But whatever it may be, whether one falters or one doesn't falter, one should just continue pure devotional service. That's the bottom line. At the same time, one should not take it very lightly. Having taken to an order of spiritual order, one should take it very seriously. But even by some arrangement of providence or whatever, some mistake happens, or something goes wrong, one should just continue devotional service, not give it up. Yes, somebody else had a hand raised.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Where is the question? Okay. Thoda Akashvani coming from somewhere.
Maharaj, you said that Lord likes to fight Viryarasa. He enjoys Viryarasa.
Sometimes, not always.
So, for his fighting, some special personalities, they appear.
Yes.
So, even though they appear, why they need to harass other people, they kill sages, they can directly fight with Lord and finish the chapter. So why it happens?
You see, because the Lord fulfills many purposes with one action. So when the Lord descends, He doesn't descend only because He has a desire to enjoy the fighting spirit. He also has His other objectives, as He speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He also has His other objectives. So when the Lord descends, He fulfills many, many objectives. He has internal objectives, He has external objectives, and He fulfills all of them. For example, when the Lord came as Narasimhadev, Srila Prabhupada explains, He didn't come primarily to kill Hiranyakashipu. He came primarily to save Prahlad. So Paritranaya Sadhunam is dearer to the Lord than is Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam. Because killing of demons can easily be done by his energies also. He can easily have some heart attack from inside and finish him off. It doesn't need much, the Lord doesn't need to descend. But because He loves His devotees so dearly, sometimes He doesn't want to delegate the protection of His devotees. He wants to do it Himself, out of love. So that is the principle. So He may do this. Similarly, even about Lord Ram, it is stated that Martyavatarast vihamartya shikshanam rakshovadhayeva na kevalam vibho. Hanuman says in the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, we are going to come to it at the end of this canto. The Lord did not descend into this world, Martyavataraha, simply rakshovadhayeva na kevalam vibho. He didn't come here simply to kill the Rakshasa Ravana. He came here for the purpose of Martya Shikshanam, for the sake of giving good instruction to the people of this world of Martya Loka. So the Lord has many purposes and He fulfills all of them. Okay? Yes, one last question. Can you give the mic?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, actually in one of the purports of Srila Prabhupada, He mentions that...
Can you speak little louder, please?
Yeah, in one of the purports of Srila Prabhupada, He mentions that this material world is created for the material pastimes of the Lord. And at the same time...
Is created for?
The material pastimes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, Prabhupada also has mentioned several times that this material world is also created because the living entities, they envy the Lord. So for them, the Lord comes down. So my question is that, what is the main cause of the material creation? Is this because the Lord wants to enjoy the pastimes of fighting with the demons? If that is the case, then like all other living entities who are deciding to come to the material world, they are also engaged in the pastime of Lord somehow, and they are also kind of serving the Lord. So then why do we have this preaching thing? Because ultimately they are also serving the material energy of the Lord. So like how does it really...
The Lord may have His own objectives to fulfill in the material creation for Himself. Yes, both the things are true. It is also meant for the sake of the jivas who want to enjoy independent of Him. And the Lord may have His own motives to fulfill through the material creation also apart from that. So all things are possible for the Lord. But as far as the jiva is concerned, the Lord's desire is that the jiva should get out of this entanglement by becoming a pure devotee and return to Him in the spiritual world. So that is His reasoning. And because it is what pleases Him and that is His desire, so we should do that. If it is the Lord's desire that we should be here and serve Him, then we will be happy to do that. But since the Lord desires that we should go back to the spiritual world, so we do it. But the Lord also knows that very few jivas will be of that mentality. So the material world will continue. because there will be many, many jivas who will continue to misuse their independence.
Thank you, Maharaj. And Maharaj, related to that, now the jivas, is it like some jivas are already eternally liberated by the Lord's will, or all the jivas, whether it be like, for example, the internal potency of the Lord, Lord Balram and the coward boys in Golok Vrindavan, they are all eternally liberated from the beginning. So, only the marginal living entities, they have a choice, or also these liberated souls, they also like make choice to be in the internal potency of the Lord. Like,
there are three kinds of entities apart from the Lord and His expansions, His Vishnu Tattva expansions. One is called the Nitya Baddha Jivas, like us, who have been in bondage in the material world since time immemorial. Somehow by good fortune we have come to devotional service, and hopefully in course of time we will return, we'll go to the spiritual world. The second are the Nitya Siddha Jivas, who are jivas, but they're always liberated. They were always liberated. They were never in a bound condition. They are called Nitya Siddha, as opposed to the Nitya Baddha. And there is also a category called Kaya Vyuha, those who are expansions of the body of Krishna, who are not jivas, but they are his very close associates in the spiritual world, like his father, his mother, the gopis of Radharani, who are assistants of Radharani, the cowherd boys who are very close to Krishna. So there are many in this category who are also eternally liberated, but they are not in the category of jiva. So only the jivas can be in the bound condition. So then we have the option now of rendering pure devotional service and going to the liberated platform in the spiritual world. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, I think it's time we should go. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.